Welcome to the Roadmap to Longevity, where we discuss integrative tools and meaningful approaches to improve your health span. I'm Dr. Gary Huber, Professor of Integrative Medicine for the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine and the Metabolic Medicine Institute out of George Washington University. I'm also a preceptor for medical students and fellows training in integrative medicine and operate an integrative medical practice in Cincinnati, Ohio. I am joined by the multidimensional Chelsea Dorsett, who's a registered dietitian, an integrative health coach, a mother of three, and an all-around fabulous human being.
Are you moldy, Dr. Huber?
Am I moldy?
Are you moldy?
I'm a lot of things. I'm crusty.
And apparently you were moldy.
I was moldy. Yes. We've been really wanting to get to this topic. It's a big one.
Mm-hmm. It is well overdue. We've been talking about this for months, so we got to share this. We got to blast it out. Dr. Huber is with me, and this is Chelsea Dorsett. We are going to walk through Dr. Huber's mold story. And of course, once you go through a journey, you are forced to become the expert. You've been seeing and treating mold patients for over a decade. But experience mold for yourself, your family goes through what you went through. Mm-hmm. You know this like better than anybody else because you had to. So I think people are going to get so much out of this podcast, everything from how to clean your house, how to look for contractors, how to test yourself. I mean, it's really going to be valuable. So I want you to start us off by sharing your story and your family's story and what they went through and what you went through with mold.
Well, like you say, you can read and talk about something forever, but until you do it, you can talk about a marathon, but until you run one, you can't run a marathon. And did Jill Krista's book and Neil Nathan's book and dealt with biotoxin, Lyme and mold, because Lyme and mold have a lot of overlap. And you think you know the topic, and then something happened in our household that really shook our family for almost an entire year. My lovely wife, Beth, started in the fall or late summer with some rash, a little bit of itch. And you think, oh, it's just poison ivy. I was out mowing the grass. And we approached it like that, but it wasn't going away. And it started on her head and then went down her neck and then it started to get on her torso. And it just really got odd. And that's going to be interesting.
About how do you know if somebody has mold? It doesn't follow a normal pattern. You got to start thinking.
And so she had this horrendous rash for
weeks and weeks, typical stuff. You can use some Benadryl. You can use some steroids, some prednisone. We were using all of the normal things you would think about when somebody has a horrible histamine type reaction. Her skin got so bad that it hurt to lay in bed. Mm. Her skin was that excoriated and that irritated. And again, we had tried everything, prednisone, ketotifen, quercetin.
Histamine oxidase, these are enzymes that break up histamine. I started reaching out to friends and doctors around the country to say, help. I'm failing here. Something is wrong. Somebody out in Colorado, an expert on mast cell activation in autoimmune disease, said, well, maybe it's autoimmune urticaria. We pursued that. We weren't getting any better. You, in fact, we were driving home from a corporate health gig that we had just done. And I'm just going nuts. My wife's miserable. I can't fix her. I can't find anybody to help me fix her. And you said, maybe it's Lyme.
Yeah, we were just searching for anything.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'll test everything.
I'll test for Lyme.
Yeah.
And so I reached out to a friend of mine, Richard Horowitz in New York, who's a Lyme expert and somebody who early on in my Lyme education was very helpful. And he said, Gary, run all these tests. We did everything, IgE antibody, CBC. We did an alpha-gal test, a mast cell activator. We tested for lupus. We tested cold agglutinins for mycoplasma. Everything came back normal.
Yeah.
We looked at environmental allergens. We looked at food allergens. Everything came back normal. And that's when this should resonate with anybody dealing with mold. When you've done all the normal things and you have unbelievable symptoms and nothing's coming back, you've got to think outside the box. You've got to think mold. So we finally tested for mold, but it wasn't until April.
April. Now, she started with this late summer into the fall, all through winter. Now we're in April. We get a urine test, and we find three different mycotoxins in our urine, and you shouldn't have any. We can talk about the different mycotoxins. Mycotoxins are these fatty compounds that mold produces that get in the air, you breathe them in. And it mycotoxin itself is not mold, it's a product of mold, and you breathe that stuff in. We'll talk about what kind of symptoms it created. So April 30th, we had our air ducts cleaned. We lived in this house for 25 years, never had the air ducts cleaned. Did you have the air ducts cleaned in your old home?
No,
No, nobody does.
what does?
We're going to talk about that because you really should, because mold can be growing in your air ducts. We did some other testing. We did an organic acid. Maybe there's a little bit of yeast present, which is a form of mold. Point, she was doing so
That I sent her to go live in an Airbnb down the road. She stayed there for a week. We just wanted to see if I get out of the house, is it in our house? If I get out of the house, do I feel better? I brought in my good friend Chuck Billingsley, who is an outstanding mold expert and inspector. We'll talk about IICRC certified. And he came in and looked at our house and he says, "Gary, I don't see anything.
No,
Looks great."
have to look again. Keep
Yeah,
looking. Keep looking.
keep looking. And this is important. A experienced, intelligent mold inspector,
Chuck looked at my house, and at the time,
and we had a back door. The sill of the door had over the years dried out, and we didn't realize that it was leaking. And so when rain would hit the back of the door, it would go down through the sill into the wall, into the basement. And the wall in the basement wasn't moldy. And it was going all the way down the cement wall and into the carpet. Now we had dark gray, multicolored gray carpet. You can't see moisture on a
No.
gray carpet.
Perfect hiding spot.
It was. And the only way we discovered it is I had a shelving unit there with some boxes. And I happened to pull one of the boxes out, and the bottom of it was soaking wet. And there's no water near that. There's no sink, there's no shower, there's nothing near it. And that's when I said, it's got to be mold. It's got to be mold. So I asked Chuck to do an air test, and he did. Bingo.
There you go.
All that time, all that pursuit, looking at every lab under the sun, and it comes out that, yeah, it's mold. And she tested positive for mold.
And you are fine, right? You have no symptoms. And
I have no
Tom
symptoms.
was living with you and had zero symptoms.
Correct.
How could that be?
About 24% of the population have a gene called an HLA-DR gene. And you can test for that. We can test for that through LabCorp. It's not that difficult. If you have that gene and you're exposed to mold, you don't clear toxins easily. It doesn't mean your ability to clear it is zero, but it's dramatically reduced. And so if you and I walked into a moldy barn and we both got a headache, and then we walked out of the barn, we would clear those toxins in a matter of minutes. Our headache would go away. But if you have that gene, you're not going to clear that toxin. Your headache's not going to go away. And Beth had that gene. And so she wasn't able to clear the toxin. So it was staying within her. There are ways, if somebody has that gene, you can use binders. And we can talk about what kind of binders. We have one here called broad spectrum binder. There's a prescription drug called cholestyramine. Binders help people that have that gene clear it. And that's ultimately what we had to do. But in Beth's case, even when we started her on the binders, once we saw the mold, we started on it right away. But Chuck took a while to get the air test back, and then we realized, okay, there is mold here. It must be in this carpet. She was still miserable on the binders.
Yes, I remember that. Wasn't it like a month of you? She was being treated, but like you
Yeah.
said, these things take time. You can't just get it all out the next day. And
Right.
she wasn't really getting any better until that mold was gone.
Until the day we pulled the carpet out. I mean, I was at my wit's end. We had called in some contractors to look at the situation, some mold remediators, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But we knew it had to be in the carpet. And so I hired somebody to pull the carpet out. Within a week of pulling out the carpet and taking down the drywall, because where the water had been coming down, I wasn't taking a chance. We just ripped the drywall out. Once that was out of our house and she was on binders, it was like overnight. She started getting better.
Yes.
And that was significant because she had been miserable. I mean, miserable. The rash that she had was unbelievable.
I can attest. I mean, it was like an open wound almost.
Yeah.
She was wrapping herself like it was like a burn victim. And just hearing her, she would be up multiple times a night taking cold showers because of burn. I mean, it was not just a little rash.
It wasn't just a little rash. She was taking cold showers just to try to quell the itching because nothing else was quelling it. We would wake up at 2 in the morning. Hearing her scratching, scratching, scratching. And if your whole body itches, I can tell you all day long, don't scratch it.
Yeah.
Sure. That's cute.
Well, before we go on to testing, I have a list here of like 3 pages full of symptoms that possibly could happen when you have mold.
Yep.
Beth's situation was a little unique and it was just a full body rash. It wasn't.
That's a large part of why it fooled me.
Yeah.
I've seen mold patients for years. And here, when I am teaching doctors about mold, and they say, well, how do I know if somebody's moldy? Now, take this with a grain of salt, right? Because mold symptoms are weird.
Yes.
You're not weird. You're fine. You're lovely. But your symptoms are bizarre. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy for a clinician to go, this woman is batshit crazy.
Or she's depressed or anxious. Yeah. Or.
And that's what I tell docs. When you're listening to a story from somebody and you think this woman's out of her mind, you should be thinking mold. Right. I wrote down a couple of examples because these are things that patients have told me over the years when they have mold, which is, where did I put them? They'll tell me, I feel like my chest is vibrating. I feel like my head is vibrating. It's an emotional roller coaster. I've never been an anxious person and now I'm panic attacks for no reason.
Yep.
That can be a big issue. Tingling in my hands and feet, and it comes and goes. And this is not a person who's diabetic or has neurologic injury. There's no reason for them to have tingling. So all of these can be symptoms. They'll say, I just feel weak.
Yeah.
The left side of my body feels weak. What?
Yeah.
You didn't have a stroke.
Right.
Right? We can CAT scan your head. There's no stroke. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean by weird. So the symptoms can be very weird. I'm going to give you just a brief smattering.
Every system in your body can be affected by mold. Mm-hmm.
These mycotoxins, they're fatty compounds. And so they're going to be attracted to fatty material in your body, like your brain. Your brain's fatty. Your nerves are fatty. So it can affect respiratory system. You can
have coughing, chronic sinus, neurologic.
My brain's foggy. My memory's no good. I'm getting headaches. I'm dizzy. I'm confused. I have these tremors. Gastrointestinal, diarrhea, abdominal pain, loss of appetite, skin rashes. That was Beth's problem, but she didn't have any of this other stuff, right? But you can have urticaria, rashes, it looks like hives, it can look like a lot of things. Your immune system gets altered, you're more likely to have autoimmune disease. Think of how many patients you have that come in with symptoms like this.
Yeah.
And if it fits in the box and makes sense and it responds to treatment, you go, oh, okay, we're on target. Mm-hmm. But when they have overlapping things and it's not responding, musculoskeletal, joint aches, weakness, like I said, joint pain, cardiovascular, heart palpitations, chest pain, generalized symptoms, fevers, night sweats, unexplained weight gain or weight loss, sensitivity to light, eye changes, blurred vision, ringing in your ears, and then all the psych elements like mood issues.
So what is your take on how well-equipped primary care doctors or rheumatologists are at testing and treating for mold? I mean, is this even on their radar?
It's not even on our radar. When we go to med school, I mean, this was never something that was discussed.
Yeah.
It's like Lyme. We're taught Lyme happens when you get bit by a tick and you get this bullseye rash, and then you treat it with doxycycline, and it's all better.
And off you go.
That's not even a fraction of the reality. We're more focused in med school and in medicine in general on heart disease and cancer and diabetes, and those are important things. So this stuff, no,
yeah.
It's not even discussed
yeah.
to any significant degree.
So talk to us now that you know you have mold. How do you test? How do you treat? Walk us through that process because you went through a very interesting journey with testing and treating and getting rid of the mold. Tell us about that.
Well, that's what we want to do today. We want to, if you're listening to this, we want to give you tools. If you think, gosh, this sounds suspicious in my own case, I want to give you specific tools. I want to walk you through my experience. There are books written on mold. We can't begin to cover it in a single podcast. But I want to begin to give you tools. The EPA estimates that 50 to 85% of all buildings have mold. And one mold expert I talked to, he goes, look, the only way to guarantee that your home doesn't have any mold is to have no indoor plumbing. Yeah, that's
Oh,
all.
live
That's all.
outside, live in a tent.
Because it is so ubiquitous. Mold is everywhere. It is outside, it's in wet leaves, it's in the mulch that you put in your
In
garden.
your shower.
It's everywhere. Now, there should be less mold in your house than outside, but that's where the problems arise, is when you're living in a home that has mold in it and you don't know. So, first off, a couple of things. This is just you protecting you against possible bad outcomes. If you think you have mold in your home, you go downstairs and you say, oh, we've got some moisture in the corner of the basement, or that wall looks funky. Here's the thing. What does mold look like, Chels?
Know about black mold, to be honest. Like if
Exactly.
I saw mold, squish bug, or I mean, I've heard about black,
Exactly.
but that's it.
Everybody thinks mold is black
Yep.
and gross, and you see it from a mile away. That's only Stachybotrys. There's so many other. There's Aspergillus and Fusarium and Penicillium. And the thing is, these molds, when they're growing on wood, look brown. Well, wood is brown. They can look slightly gray. They can look like dust. And it's really easy to be looking at mold and you think, oh, I'm just seeing some dust, or I'm just seeing something benign. I have lived through mold, and I can't tell you looking at a piece of wood if it's mold or not, right?
That experience. So understand it's fairly, very common. But if you look in your basement and you think, I see mold, just that I picked up from a mold expert, a square mold can have 1 million to 10 million molds in that small area. Now, if you see it and you go over and start irritating it, you're, I'm going to clean that mold. I'm going to get some ammonia and clean that up. Irritating the mold can just spike it to make more spores. You can actually agitate it. So I'm telling you right now, if you think you have mold in your basement, don't touch it. Don't do anything to it. The most I would say do is check the humidity in your house, keep your humidity less than 50%, and get a box fan and just keep air moving. Mold has a hard time growing in a dry environment where air is moving. Mold when air is stagnant and a little bit moist. So don't jump in and start trying to clean up mold. Test first. And the thing I really tell people, it is so much easier for me to test you than to test your home. Testing a home, it could be under your dishwasher, it could be behind your washing machine, it could be in a leaky pipe behind your shower,
To be
it
anywhere.
could be anywhere. And so it's much more difficult to test a home. Now, there are ways to figure that out, but it's much easier. I can do a urine test on you, and I shouldn't see any mycotoxins in your urine because your body should be able to clear them as fast as you can. So if we do a urine test and we see a bunch of mycotoxins, measuring actual mold, measuring the toxin that mold makes, and I know you're moldy. And I can almost bet you have an HLA-DR gene, and we can test that. And if you want to test yourself, you can go on hipvivo.com, go into the shop, and you can buy DR test. You can buy a TGFB1 test, and that will give you some insight as to whether you're truly. Now, the urine test we can do through our office, but we would need to see you as a patient. And that is the test that I'm talking about. We do a urine mycotoxin test.
So, is there a do-it-yourself mold test kit that you can get on Amazon? I mean, or do you really think you need
There
to
is.
hire someone to
Well,
look?
let me finish
Okay.
just a couple things. We talked about, here's the thing. If you have mold or you see mold in your house, I'm going to tell you the guidebook to treating mold. Number one, get away.
Run.
Move out of your house. And people, I can move out of my house. But if you're sick, like I said, step out for a week just to see if that was it. You got to get away from it. Okay. That's hard for most people. If you own your home, you can't just, we know a family here locally that pitched a tent in their backyard because their home was so moldy, they couldn't live in it. Everybody in the home was sick. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's number one. Then get a urine test, test your HLA-DR gene, and then you can use binders to bind this up. But that's complex. I wouldn't recommend somebody just start willy-nilly using binders on their own. It can be complicated, and you're going to get through it easier and more efficiently if you're working with an experienced clinician. Yes, somebody like me. Your home, get your ducts cleaned, dust your walls, and keep the humidity low. Why did I say dust your walls?
Interesting. I know that was
Have you ever dusted your walls?
never dusted my walls.
My mother was a fastidious cleaner, and I remember as a kid scrubbing walls.
Really?
Yes. And in my brain, I'm going, this woman's nuts, right? But as a kid, you just do what your mom tells you.
Dusting walls.
Dusting the walls. Dust can feed mold.
Mold, every time you open your door, mold comes inside.
Hmm.
Mold is in the air and it can land
Your doors.
on picture frame sills, on where dust is collected, and mold will suck the moisture out of dust and feed on that.
Cleaned your door sills. If you've got some, we have some beams in our living room. I never go up there and clean those. Well, we have now, right? The cabinets in your kitchen, if there's not a soffit blocking them off, if there's a space up there, oh yeah, there could be an inch of
Okay.
dust up there. So that's how you begin to address yourself in your home. All right. Call Chuck Billingsley. I'm going to give you his number because I think Chuck is outstanding. I've known him for years. I had him come to a home inspection for me more than a decade ago, and he didn't know it at the time, but it was basically a job interview
Yeah, I remember
because
that.
I was looking for a mold inspector I could trust. And I love this guy. He's honest, he's legit, he's smart, he's been doing it for a long time. I call him my mold whisperer because he has found mold in my patients' homes when nobody else could find it. Chuck's number is 513-405-1209. His company is ThoroughCheck, THUR hyphen O hyphen check. So again, 513-405-1209. I trust Chuck implicitly. Now, if he were here right now, I would pull his leg and rib him a little bit because he came into my house and with his experienced eyes, he said, Gary, I don't see anything, right? And I said, that's nice, Chuck. Do an air test.
Go back.
And he said, okay, I'll do an air test. And he did. And that's when we found it. So my suggestion to anybody is do a home test. You asked me, is there a way you can do it yourself? There is. There's a little handheld device. You don't want to swipe dust with cloth and send it in. I mean, I've recommended that to patients in the past. The gold standard, the only way to really know is to get something called a DIY mold test. Yes, that's what it's called.
Okay.
Okay.
Where can you get that?
Amazon.
Okay. Amazon.
DIY mold test is $180 and it's a little device. It's going to suck air for 5 minutes and it's going to suck it through a filter and then
Filter in to be examined, and you get a report, and you see if you've got significant spores in the air. That is this.
Interesting.
Had a patient yesterday that she thought she saw mold and so they treated it with some product they bought on the internet and they didn't test before or after and I don't know if the product they used was even any good. In our case, we ripped down drywall and tore out carpet. What if we had not tested and just recarpeted and re-drywalled and it wasn't resolved?
Yeah,
It
it
would
would
just
definitely,
reemerge.
100%.
So if you don't adequately and completely get rid of the mold before you repair the drywall and redo the flooring, you could just be covering up a problem that's going to come right through the wall and through the carpet again. I mean, that happens. If you don't, but you want an inspector like Chuck, let me give you the name of IICRC Remediators. Okay. IICRC is, I had that stuff for it's like the Inspection, Cleaning, and Restoration Certification is what it stands for. So,
If somebody's going to do remediation, there is a book on how to do it properly. I have that book. These guys come in and they theoretically, they're certified. It doesn't mean they all do it right, but they're certified. I'm not going to give you the complete list, but if you just go online and look up IICRC mold remediation, you'll come up with some of these.
Restoration, Teasdale Fenton, MRC mold remediation. There's a bunch of them. Serve Pro of East Central Cincinnati, Any Weather Restoration. There's a bunch of them. All right. Now I'm going to walk you through my experience with this. This is not meant to be judgmental. It's to be a shared experience.
Transparent.
I'm just being transparent. I called a company under Chuck's recommendation. He said, call Clark Contractors. He goes, I've seen their work. They do really good work. Have them come in and give you an estimate. And he goes, expect, and I had two small areas. We didn't, our whole basement wasn't affected. There were two areas that were affected. So it was relatively contained.
Okay, but part of it was under the staircase, and I just want to make sure we right. So I called Clark Contractors to come in and give me an estimate. And Chuck said, they're kind of pricey. He goes, expect this is going to be $20,000 or $30,000. I said, okay.
At this point, I know you guys were desperate
We
and
were
just
desperate, and my
feeling
house is
hopeless.
worth more than $30,000.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm buckled in,
Yep.
ready for it. They cut the situation, and they give me an estimate. It was long. It was just a lot of rhetoric, and they wanted, are you ready?
$1,000 to fix my house.
Wow.
$50,000.
$1,000. Wow.
Now, some people might be able to write a check for that and not bat an eye. That made me,
Wanted to question that.
I wanted to question that. So, and if that's what it's going to take to get my wife healthy and my house clean, I will find $50,000 and I will pay you. But I told the guy, I said, okay, that's a very high price tag. You're going to have to walk me through exactly what you're going to do so that I understand that what you're doing is worth $50,000. And by the way, that does not include replacing carpeting and flooring or anything
Oh, it's
else.
not.
No,
Oh, I didn't know
that's
that.
just ripping stuff out, getting rid of it. Now,
Cleaning.
replacing the drywall, but nothing beyond that.
Wow.
And he goes through this long process. And I said, what are you going to use to kill the mold and get rid of the mycotoxin? And he said, and I asked him this more than once, Dawn dish soap,
Like the soap you can get at Kroger?
like the soap you can get at Kroger's. And I even paused and I said, now, Keith, let me get this right. You're going to charge me $50,000 to wash my basement in Dawn dish soap. He says, yep. And I said, but that doesn't, what else are you going to use to kill the mold? Nothing, just Dawn dish soap. He goes, we're really good at it. Huh. My radar is going off, right? Because I had already looked online, what kind of elements can you use to kill mold? And Chuck had even told me Dawn dish soap has surfactant. It can help if you wanted to clean glass or metal. Dawn dish soap will wipe away the mold. It will.
But not in like a pillow or obviously.
Not in a pillow. Not cement is porous.
Okay.
Wood is porous. Dawn dish soap does not kill mold.
Yeah.
I looked. There is no scientific literature to say Dawn dish soap kills mold. It has a surfactant. It can help clear it away off surfaces. But we're talking about cement and wood, which is what most people's basements are made of. It's not going to kill the mold.
Yeah.
And that's what they were going to use to remediate. So
So then what?
maybe they would have done a great job. I don't know because I could not see paying 50 grand to have somebody wash my basement in Dawn dish soap. My
Yeah.
brain said, well, gee, knucklehead, you can do that yourself.
Right. And were these guys IICRC
They are
certified? So
a
do you, like,
IICRC
do they have that
certified.
certification, but does it mean they're always.
Now, I asked another IICRC expert out of Colorado about that, and he looked at me like I was crazy. He goes, Dawn dish soap. He goes, no, that's not how we kill mold. So I didn't have a lot of confidence that I
Yeah.
was in the right hands. Now,
Yep.
again, I didn't use Clark. Maybe they do great work, but I wasn't confident paying 50 grand to have my basement washed and done.
And
So
didn't you ask them, what are we going to test after to make sure it's gone? And what was the answer? Because I feel like that's important.
oh,
The
yeah.
treater and the tester shouldn't be the
Well,
same,
you bring
correct?
up a real good point. If you're going to hire a mediator, and if you have mold in your basement right now, I'm not telling you you should clean it up yourself. I'm sharing with you a story, one person, me and Beth, and what we did. You will make your own decision. I would suggest get an IICRC mediator to come in and tell you what they're going to do. But to your point, I don't want the guy who's testing to be the same guy that's cleaning,
Yeah.
right?
All good here.
Yeah, we did a great job. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
You don't want your third grader grading
Grading
his
his
own
own
paper,
work. Yeah.
right? So you want separation of church and state. So I had Chuck to do the testing, but I needed somebody to do the cleanup. But yeah, that's very true. So if you're going to hire a mediator, here's what I would suggest. When they give you their estimate, ask them, is there money spent on this estimate for testing? And if they go yes, then what I was told by a remediator in Colorado, ask them to take that money off of the estimate and spend it yourself on your own third-party testing.
I like that.
True IICRC remediators from, I've talked to a couple of them, say that ethics demand that a third party test be done, right? So keep that in mind. I'm not going to go through. I have the book by the IICRC standards of how they clean. Look, what we did, we decided to take this on ourselves. I hired a guy to pull out the carpet. I hired a guy to tear out the drywall. I took out the insulation and then scrubbed the entire basement with some product called E3C. And Chelsea, where should we go from here? Where, I'm lost in my head right now.
I think also it's really good to talk with people about what else you did. So, like you said, you ended up taking the job on yourself. And in the show notes, we will put a list of the
I
cleaning
will.
products that you used because that would take a while and everyone would be trying to write it down. So, we'll put that in the show note
I'll
on
put
what
it in the
you
show
used.
notes.
But what else did you do? I know you bought box fans and dehumidifiers. And when I was looking online at dehumidifiers, you can spend $3,000
Oh, yeah.
on one, a HEPA vacuum, or you can spend $100 on one. So, we will again put the equipment that you used in the show notes.
I'm going to list a couple of the things very briefly. First of all, cleaning products. I was fascinated to learn that borax mold. You remember good old borax and laundry soap? It kills mold. It kills mold better than Dawn. Dawn doesn't do it at all. Hydrogen peroxide is an option. There are some other things you can read about. I'm going to put those in the show notes. The product that I found that I was most confident in, that I ran by some IICRC remediators, and they agreed you want to use an enzymatic product. This was a natural plant-based enzyme called EC. Oh, I think I got it written wrong there. It's E3C mold solution. It doesn't smell bad. It's not toxic. I've had buckets of it. I had my hands in the buckets. There is a specific way you need to do this, though. And I think what I'm going to be doing is make a video and posting.
That's a good idea.
Because if you have a bucket of E,
And I bought a stack of 150 microfiber washcloth initially, because once you take one washcloth and dip it in that bucket and clean, you don't want that cloth going back into the bucket. You're going to contaminate the bucket. Throw it into another bucket that you're going to take to the laundromat or you're going to wash. And you go through dozens of cloths as you're cleaning. Okay. One of the things I did was I good old-fashioned weed sprayer, right? 2 gallon weed sprayer, D3C and distilled water, because you're supposed to use distilled water with it. And I sprayed all the woodwork, all the cement, and then we scrubbed it with a scrub brush. All right. Now, if you let it just air dry, that's the nice thing about E3C. I don't have to rinse it away. If I leave it to air dry, it creates a barrier effect. So, number one, it kills mold. Number two, it's one of the few products that actually dissolves some of the mycotoxin. That's what you want to get rid of, is the mycotoxin. So E3C, what from my experience was the best product. We use that. Now, when I went outside to clean off, because everything in the basement had to be removed, everything. We've lived in that house for 25 years.
So even stuff in the back part of the basement, the kids'
Everything.
old books and
And
everything.
that brings up a good point. I've heard people say, well, we had a water breach in the basement, but it's over in the corner and I don't even go in the basement. Well, do you have a furnace? Well, yeah. The furnace is sucking air, heating it, and blowing it all through the house.
So even if it's
So
in your crawl space or in the tiniest
if it's in your
corner,
crawl
and you're
space, if it's in the
upstairs,
corner of your
you're
basement,
still getting it.
oh, absolutely. And you bring up a good point. If you have a crawl space, I'm going to bet 99.2% chance that you have mold. Crawl space is the best place to grow mold. It's dark, there's no airflow, it's moist. So I'm just saying, if you have a crawl space, your suspicion
Should be high.
should be really
So
high.
you got new carpet, new drywall, and I know you got rid of pillows and your covering on your
Well,
pool
before we did
table.
it, we got rid of a ton of stuff. So we had couches down there. We got rid of them.
Because
We
mold can
burned
cause
them.
that you can't put, that
It's
chemical on
hard
your
to get it
pieces.
out of fabric. It's just really hard. So anything that was a pillow or fabric, we literally just took out in the back and burned it. We had a lot of weight equipment, exercise equipment. Everything had it. If you have a cardboard box in your basement, burn it. Get rid of it. Go buy a
Tupperware.
plastic Tupperware
You're
container.
only talking about plastic in your house,
Yes, it's the only
probably.
plastic I have in my house, because the fuel for mold loves to live and eat and feed off cardboard boxes and drywall. And so if you're storing 10 years of tax returns in cardboard boxes, go get a stainless steel cabinet, go get a plastic container.
We took all of our plastic containers outside. We washed them with E3C. We let them dry. Then we, refilled them and put them back in the basement. It took weeks.
A long
It
time.
took
So
weeks.
if you don't mind me asking, how much did you spend on all of
You
that?
better believe I counted every penny.
Yeah.
We bought 5 gallon buckets. We everything we bought to do this, I kept track of. We spent $8,000.
It's a little less than 50.
I'm going to take the 42,000 in savings and spend a lot better than contractors would have spent it.
Yes.
So yes, now it took some effort. It took some energy.
A lot.
I had to hire some people to help with certain parts of it, but everything we had done combined was 8 grand,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so my message to anybody listening to this is, look, if you want to hire remediators, I'm sure they can do good work. And some people just don't want to do this at all, right? I get that. But go into it understanding you're going to pay that premium, and that's fine. But just make sure when you pay that premium that when they get done, somebody other than them is testing.
There should almost be a guarantee.
There should be. And in fact, John Weir out in Colorado, he's the AIR CRC guy that I spoke with. He gave me some guidelines, and that was one of them, that you should have a guarantee that there's going to be a negative test at the end of it.
Yeah.
That absolutely. And he said there should absolutely be third-party testing. They should not be testing their own work. Some of the things that I would recommend you do, go spend $10 on a box fan, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's seen a box fan. I've even had remediators tell me you take a box fan, put a MERV 13 air filter on it, like you would put in your furnace, and just put that on the backside of the fan. So it's pulling air through that filter. You can do that. Keep your home, keep humidity well below 50%. The general rule of thumb is less than 50. I keep ours less than 40, because again, if there's no humidity, mold can't grow. And you talked about a dehumidifier. The one that we ended up purchasing, because we looked at a ton of them. My wife is awesome at reading reviews and really coning down to the good stuff. Aller Air, that's Allor, we'll put this in the show notes. LGR, commercial dehumidifier, 180 pint, large capacity, blah, 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 a lot of stuff. But we use that, depending on the size of your house, you might even need two. But we use that to keep the humidity under control. And then we used a hygrometer from Extech, Extech, because I can take that hygrometer. Hygrometer measures humidity. And I can walk through the house, through the bedrooms, the living room, to make sure that the house is low humidity. Because if it's not, then it suggests that the airflow in that room isn't great. And you might want to think about doing something to advance that. We bought an air scrubber. One of the things that I really think anybody with mold should consider getting is a HEPA filter. We bought one from IQ Air. It's Health Pro Compact. It's IQ Air. Why? Because that thing filters down to 0.003 microns. That's how small mycotoxins are. So if you have a HEPA filter that's only filtering to 1 micron, that's not going to capture everything. So I gave you a lot of the tools. I'll give you more detail on the show notes.
So to to wrap this up, we have to know how's Beth doing now
Oh my
compared
God.
to 7 months ago where
We retested her mold toxins. They're not completely gone, but they're dramatically reduced.
Okay.
Her symptoms are 98% gone. She has a little bit of itching in her legs, but the rash, the horrendous rash she had, is completely gone. Her skin is back to normal. She's not itching all the time. It was interesting watching it unravel. There was a dramatic improvement over 2 weeks once we got the mold out of the house. And then ever since then, it's just been small incremental improvements. And it's
Yeah.
not completely gone. She still has some itching in her lower legs, but that's it.
Yeah. Well, Roddy's been
That's
through a
it.
lot between the not sleeping and the steroids. And so I think your body needs some time to heal. But I mean, she looks amazing. You know what I mean? So it's night and day. And I know we already talked about this. It is just so wild to me how you and your daughter had nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. No symptoms.
I
I
had my
ask you,
head.
do you feel anything? Like, are you sure? You're like, I'm fine.
I don't have that gene. Now, I was taking some binders along the way because I knew I was getting exposed.
Yeah.
So I was taking some binders to bind it up and pull it out. But my body naturally has the ability to detox. How do you detox, Chels? How do you naturally detox every single day of your
You
life?
eat vegetables, you pee, you breathe air, you sweat.
Sweat,
Skip,
right?
yeah.
It's a big one. And so heading into summer, and I'm out riding my bike, I'm outdoors working, I'm sweating. A sauna or sweating, like you said, eat your vegetables, drink plenty of water. This is all part of the natural detox process. We've got an article on Hipvo just entitled Mold. And read through that. And it doesn't go into as much detail as we went into here, but it gives you some very significant start points.
I think you
And
even have like a mold smoothie where you're putting like cauliflower in
oh,
it.
yeah.
It's fiber and chia seeds, and you got to plug your nose for it, but drink it.
Actually, it's not that bad.
But
Yeah, we
Jason, you got
created a
to.
smoothie recipe that embodies a lot of these principles. You want to stimulate bile. Your body is getting rid of it through the bile that your gallbladder makes because your bile is fatty and these mycotoxins are fatty. So, yeah, there's a lot of things you can put in a smoothie that stimulate bile production, bind it up, phosphatidylcholine. We do have a smoothie recipe that works really well for that.
Well, I think this is, like I said at the beginning, so valuable. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of mold patients that I know
Oh
will be
my
listening
God.
to this, and I think the show notes will be critical for you to put all of the tools that you ran into. And like you said, you became the expert, really not by choice, but you just had to be. And you are the
Absolutely.
expert. You are the
Well,
mold expert.
there were a lot of things I learned going into this. I had read a lot and I had treated patients already and had success. But until you walk it yourself, I didn't know what dehumidifier to get. I didn't know what kind of air scrubber to get. I didn't know what to kill mold with. That was the learning curve. And I'm going to say again, the reason we're doing this podcast, it's not to tell you you should clean up your own mold. Go get an IICRC certified remediator, get an estimate. But if you run into the problem I had, which is they were only going to use Dawn dish soap and charge me 50K, that didn't pass my cognitive understanding of the problem. I didn't see how that was going to solve the problem. So I want to be able to give you tools that if you decide you want to do it yourself, these are some of the tools to use. But please don't take from this that I'm telling you, don't call anybody, just do it
Get
yourself.
your scrubber out.
I'll tell you one funny thing. So Chuck's telling me, look, Gary, you did a great job. He came in, he was inspecting as we were doing this. He was running air tests along the way to make sure that we were getting it out. And he goes, okay. He goes, you've done the remediation. Everything looks great. I'm not testing anything positive at this point. He goes, but I want you to get your leaf blower and I want you to create negative pressure at the far end of the basement. We have two windows and a door. We put a fan in each window and a big blower in the door to push air
What?
outside. That's creating negative pressure. That's what remediators are supposed to do. And we had blocked off the stairwell with plastic and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, I want you to take the leaf blower starting at the north end of the basement and blow it all out the south end where the fans are. And he said, you literally want to clean the air out of the space. And I did it. Now, what part did that play in us testing negative at the end? I don't know, but his point in that was these things are airborne and they're throughout your house and you're never going to be completely free of it. You could test my house next week and there's going to be some airborne mold toxin. It's a matter of degrees. It's a matter of how much. And is it being fostered in your basement or is it simply blowing in the front door every time you walk out?
He's
Right?
got some good
But
tips.
yeah, there I am with a gas-driven
Leaf blower.
blower in my leaf blower in my basement and
Like
I'm
I'll do
was
anything.
shaking my head thinking I feel like
An
an idiot
idiot.
here. Anyway,
All right. Well,
lot
thank you
lot of
so
things to
much for sharing your
consider.
story, and thanks to Beth for letting us share her story too.
Yeah, man, I'll
Very
tell you what,
helpful.
it was a very painful journey, but one that netted a lot of good information. All right.
Absolutely.
I hope this is helpful to you guys. If you got questions, please let us know because we want to make sure you have the tools you need to fix your problem if that's what you're dealing with. This is serious stuff. All right.
All right, take care.
Bye now. If you would like to leave us a message, ask a question, or have a comment, please feel free to reach out to us at help@huberpm.com. That's help@huberpm.com. Thanks.